So you don't need to go borrow equipment from anybody to do the feet? Do the hose?
Well, we're gonna have to find somewhere to get something. We're not gonna do the feet today. I'm gonna wait till like early in the morning to do those, because, I mean, you get so tired. It takes me longer than most people, because, you know, I'm not as strong, and I'm not as good as, like, somebody that would do it all the time, you know? I mean, I trim horses and stuff like that, but, I mean, I don't know how to say it. You know, they do it for a living, you know? Most people that you would get to trim your horse do it all the time, and I'm not that good, very strong.
Did they train you that?
Yeah.
So you have your own equipment, but...
No, I don't have my own equipment at all. Dad, you know, has done some of it. That's another thing, too, is I kind of had a general idea of kind of how to do it just watching him and watching people come to our place and doing it and stuff, you know. And, I don't know, then down there, it's mandatory. You have to graduate, you know, well, to get the degree, you know. You have to take this class. And you can only take, if you want to, you can only take it for 8 weeks. And if you want to go on in it, then you can go on, you know. And I decided to go ahead and go on in it. And the first part of it is like, well, we have lecture, then we have lab. And like the first part of it, we just go into the classroom, and he like, in the beginning of the year, there was a lot of classroom work. I mean, that's just kind of how it happens, you know, because he kind of has to tell you, they go over the whole part of the horse. I mean, all the skeleton part of it, you know, and they go through every kind of ligament, and I mean, there's millions of ligaments and millions of tendons, you know, well, not millions, but I mean,
yeah, I
and so we had to know these tendons and ligaments, and then all the bones, and, you know, all the way from the shoulder down, and then from the hip down, you know, all the way down to the hoof, and then the bone in the hoof, and then all the wall and, you know, of the hoof and what everything was called there. And then he went over on how to trim it and there's a white line that you go by, and a horse has this little white line, and you clean it out with the hoof knife, you know, and then you can see this little white line, and that's kind of where you go by to, you know, the horse kind of helps you out because it has that little white line right there, and that's where you kind of your little guide of where you trim. And I am still scared to do it because, you know, I mean, you can make a horse go lame by doing
really?
It. Well, you can trim them too short and make them, you know, and they're just a little bit for the first couple of days, you know. I mean, they're just sore. That's not bad, but sometimes you can get it really bad. You can really make a horse really bad. And they, you know, then they have to, like, keep them away from anything, you know, get them really in a soft ground and no hard pebbles or hard clods of dirt or anything. So, I don't know. I'm a little scared about doing it yet. You know, I get them really long. I mean, they're still long when I get done with them. A lot of times, like, I'll get done and I'll think I'm done. I'll look down at the horse's hoof and it's too long. And then, like, I would never, ever, ever trust myself to shoe a horse. See, we did that, too. We did a lot of stuff. We did a lot of stuff with it. Like, we had the burners, you know, and you started out with a straight iron, you know, and you'd stick it into the, you know, like, actual blacksmithing, and you put it into the hot coals, you know, and then it's a straight bar, and we'd make a horseshoe out of it, you know. But these shoes we never did put on a horse. We just put the shoes that were already made on a horse, and that's as far as we got. I mean, if you would really get into it, well, as a matter of fact, this is really funny. You know, there isn't really any girl farriers around anywhere. Farriers, what they're called. And the reason they were showing us this at college was just to get us to know if our trimmer and shoer was doing it right, and plus the knowledge of knowing the bones and ligaments, which we had it in another class, too. That was kind of a double thing that we had in another class, so it was kind of review for us. Well, it was a review for some people, depending on what time of the year you took it, you know, if it was a review or not. But anyway, what was I going to say? I forgot what I was saying.
You said you never made the horseshoes, but...
Well, when we put them on a horse's hoof, all we do they're already made, they're round. We pick out a size, you know, we like look at the horse's hoof and say, okay, this is a double aught, this is an aught, this is, you know, what size, and double aught not are the ones that are most popular for, you know, the light horse, you know. I mean, you get into the big horses, like the Clydesdales, Shires, that's a whole different thing, or ponies, that's a whole different thing, but we're talking just the regular light horses, you know. And aught and double aught are the two sizes. Well, anyway, you go get your... Okay, this is after you trimmed them. You go get your shoe. It's already made. It's already round. You pick out your size. You go look, and every horse's hoof is shaped different. It doesn't matter. Every horse is going to have a little different shape. And so what you have to do...
The horseshoe is made custom-made for the horseman?
No. No, what we do, then that's where the farrier comes in. Every shoe is like... You order, you know, I would like a case of double aught shoes. The farrier gets them. You know, that's the way it goes. And then our job is to shape the shoe to the horse's foot. And that, it sounds easy, but it's really hard to do. I mean, some of them you have to, you know, like say, okay, say your shoe's like this, and your horse's foot is just really wide or something, then you have to put it on the anvil and get the shoe stretched out. Well, then once you stretch the shoe out, well, then the two corners, they go out too. You know, okay, your shoe's like this. You stretch this out, well, then it's going to make these go way out too, and they get like this.
Right.
Then you have to round these back, you know. It's just, it sounds easy, but it's really hard to do. And then I would never do it because I never trust myself to do it. I mean, we had to do it, but it's just that people would volunteer their horses to the college because it costs like $30 to get your horse shod. I mean, that's how much it costs. Could you imagine all those horses out there if we had them all shod? That's $30 for 20 horses, 28 horses, you know? I mean, Jesus, that would be $900 just like that. I mean, could you imagine? So... You know, like a lot of people that have a lot of horses and stuff, and that they're riding a lot, they just let the college kids do them for them, you know. They're taking the risk of having their horse get lame, but it really never happens because we have our instructor right there telling us this is what you do. And it's not like there's a person that's just gung-ho and goes and just trims their feet and puts the shoe on, you know. You can't do that. And so we have our instructor right there, and we ask a million questions all the time. I mean, he just runs around everywhere, you know. So it's... But, what was I going to say? It's really tiring, though. And it, you know, like, you get... I've only done, like... Well... At the end of the year, now see, I took the second half of the course, and right now I've probably only shod about 5 horses, trimmed a lot of them. And you know what we start out with? This is the grossest of everything. We start out with dead horse hooves. I mean, you know, the canneries, you know, and stuff, you know, the people that kill the horses for meat and stuff, you know, they have all these legs and stuff, and... I don't know, everybody...
I thought they used the horse hooves for gelatin, that's not so.
You know, I think they do, I think a lot of times, but then they probably use them for everything. I don't know what all they use them for. But anyway, we get these horse hooves from this one cannery. They have to go a long ways to go get them, like back east somewhere to get these horse hooves for the college. They go back east and they get them and they freeze them, you know? So we have this frozen horse hoof that we have to start out on because you don't want to cripple up a really good horse. And like my first hoof, that horse would have been lame like crazy. But it was just, and oh God, it's so gross because sometimes if you get one that's been thawed out a little bit, they start really stinking and stuff. Oh, it's the grossest thing. Oh, it's just so icky. I mean, you have this piece of horse. I mean, this leg that's, oh, it's just gross. Like in some of them, blood will spurt out, you know, and I mean, oh, it's nothing. It's the grossest thing. And that's probably why they have to make that class mandatory, because at the beginning of the year, it's the pits. But once you get into it, it's the funnest thing, and, you know, it's really interesting to do stuff like that. But I would have never gotten to that class if there's no way if I didn't have to have it. There's no way. I mean, I heard everybody saying, you know, like the people that took the class before talking about, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that, there's dead horse hoofs, you know, you gotta, and they stink, and all this other stuff, and I was just going, oh my god, I don't want to take that class, and maybe I'll wait till next year, and then I thought, no, I get it out of the way now. And then once I got into it, geez, I want to take the second half of it. It was just really interesting to me, you know. But at first it was kind of a bummer. But I'm glad I took it. Really glad. It pays off, especially, you know, $12 for a trim. I mean, that's $12 every time I can go out and trim my own horse's hooves.
Right.
You know, and I wouldn't trust myself to do it with a horse that I was really using a lot or anything, but the ones that are standing around, that's still $12, you know. I mean, whether the horse being used a lot or not, it's $12. And shoot, I can do those, you know. But I always have somebody that really knows what they're doing for the horses that I'm really, really using. But anyway, I want to wait until the morning to do that because it's just too hot in the afternoon to try to sit out there. I mean, you can get just exhausted. Anyway, I was going to tell you about that. The girl, you know, there isn't very many farrier girls, you know,
uh-huh.
that do this. This summer I met one. Jorgensen's, they have one shoer that comes to their house all the time. They've had him for years and years and years. And I guess, like, in Minnesota, it's real wet and stuff, you know? So, like, they really have to watch their shoes for not coming off because the hoof wall is so much softer. It's like when you're down there, your hands are softer and everything, you know, and they're not as dry or anything. When you get back here, we have dry hooves. We have to watch out for, like the hooves being too dry. We have to put ointment on them and stuff. Well, back there, they're too wet. Not this time of the year because, you know, they've had a dry year, but usually they're too wet and that shoe can just pull right off because it's just the hoof wall is so soft. It seems weird that that's like that. You know, and I never knew that until I took this class either. I didn't realize that, and, you know, if you think about it, yeah, if it rains a lot, the horse is always wet and it's always moist. It's always on something moist.
Yeah.
Sure, it's going to be softer. But I never even thought about that until I took this class. So, it's, you know, that's kind of stuff, too, that you think about. But anyway, I always have this one horseshoer, and this girl's been in this farrier. She's going to an actual farrier college. They have a lot of those around, a lot. And she's going to one of them, and she's been going for like 9 months to this one, and she's still got a lot more left to go. What? Oh, right here.
Just don't put it on. It's not on right here.
But anyway, she has, he's like taking her as, you know, helping her out and stuff, you know, for the summer. She's been working with him all summer. And it's really different to see a girl doing it. You know, you just don't see that at all, ever. Jorgensen's have a girl or a, you know, a guy. They've had a guy being a horseshoer for a long time, you know. And they are, there's this girl that's working with him for the summer.
Uh-huh.
And she's going to be a farrier.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And she's just little. She's a tiny girl, but boy, I tell you, she's got arms the size of, they're huge, but she must only, what is blowing out of there?
Well, that's what happens with that air conditioner. It's just, it gets dust accumulated in it. See, it's all over the TV.
It was just on last night. How does it get dust in it already?
For one thing, the filters are dirty because it's been so dry, and it all comes across the road, you know, and then it builds up real bad with and deposits all the water.
Oh.
In other words, I should change filters.
God.
I know. It won't last long. But it sure does make a mess in the house.
Yeah, it makes a mess. Anyway, this girl must only weigh like 110 pounds. I mean, she's just a little shit, and she's out there, and she's got huge arms. I mean, she's in shape like you can't believe. She's out there just working away. And those guys are so used to it that they do it all day long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't bother them a bit to just go out there and trim and trim and trim and shoe and everything. But for me, that's something I'm not used to. And boy, I tell you, sweat just rolls off of me. It's tiring. At the very beginning, when we first started doing it, we only did like one hoof. We moved up to two, then we moved up to a full horse, you know. And we just slowly got in shape doing that, you know. But now if I went to do that, holy smokes, I'd never be able to handle it.
Why?
It's just, it's hard work. It's really hard work. You're bent over and it's, you know, it takes like, I don't know why you sweat so bad doing it either, but you just, oh, it's just hard work. It doesn't seem like it would be, but it is. It really takes a lot of muscles to do it too. I mean, a lot. It's hard.
Long kicked a lot?
I've never been kicked, ever. But, like, those collies, of course, you know, like I was talking, our horses are a little better than most people's horses because they've been around people a lot. And they don't get by with stuff. I mean, we do get mad at our horses for, you know, whatever they do wrong. We do get mad at them. Like, I noticed horses at college, they just haven't been disciplined enough. And they're just, it's like a kid. They just are ornery, you know. And, like, they'll move around and kind of be ornery about halfway, but not too bad. I've never been kicked doing it at all. And that's another thing we had to learn in the class, you know, just had to learn our safety of where to stand and how to stand. You have to stand like these certain ways, and oh, it's a killer on your back because you're standing like this. Oh, I'm sorry, Barry. You're standing. Whoops. You're standing like this, you know, and like when you're in the back, the horse's hoof lays like this right over you, and you're like this working, you know. This is like a hoof knife that, you know.
So you always bend over.
You're always bent over. And like in the front, you stick the horse's hoof between your leg, you know, kind of like that. And you go like this, you kind of bend down like this, and you have the horse's hoof right here. It's really hard on your back. Like, I noticed that girl's back muscles were just tremendous, too, you know. Couldn't believe it. She had like on this really kind of short shirt, you know. There's just, I think that's cold.
Just don't, it's, if you rub something against it, it just
makes a sound. Okay.
So what were you going to do out there today? What are the things you were going to?
Just go out and
look at the filly?
Yeah. I think more or less, it's getting about so late now. Pretty much all we're going to do is go out. I don't know what her plans really are, but I think pretty much just go out and take care of them and then maybe go to that seasonal dance or whatever it is. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
I don't know what it's called either. You know, he said there was four guys doing that.
Doing what?
The dance, you know? How he said there's four guys? I wonder if that means, like, since there's four seasons, you know, I wonder if that has something to do with it, since he called it a seasonal dance.
Right.
He was a pretty neat guy, I thought.
Yeah, he spoke crow okay.
I got a kick out of him when he kept saying, "See this little cat."
I want to see the little cat. No, that sounds like kitten. I don't want to say kitten. That sounds stupid.
So she named everybody in the class except for...
About four people. Well, I think they asked for names.
Oh, did they? Huh. That's funny. Look at how much that air conditioner blew on that blue bag right there.
Yeah, I noticed on the case for the tape recorder, too. So it was all covered today.
Look at your cigarettes, even.
Look, right here.
Jeez.
Just sitting here for just a minute. That's,
look at the cigarettes.
It's like ash. Is it from, that must be from the fires, or what?
You know, maybe it is. Maybe it is. Since that one whole day you couldn't even see or anything. But look at your cigarettes. Just sitting there.
On the way in from Roundup yesterday morning, the radio was on. And they were talking about the weather, and they said how everybody woke up with ash all over their car today, and...
In Roundup?
On the way from Roundup, I was listening to the radio yesterday morning.
And so this was probably like a Billings radio station or something,
yeah,
like that?
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
And they said, well, everybody woke up with ashes on their car today. I guess just from the fires.
Yeah, it is. I was telling you, day before yesterday, it was the most weird day I've ever seen in my entire life. It was, the wind was blowing real hot when I first got up. And it was early, real early, like 7 o'clock in the morning, that wind was just hot. And next thing you knew, it was just overcast. Well, smoke all blew in, just like there was a fire right around close. And it was just dense. You couldn't even hardly see very far away. Okay, then the it just kind of blew the smoke in, and I blew it out, but then it was real hazy, and there was just dust particles all over, and it was, you'd look at the sun, it just looked red. I mean, you couldn't see the sun. It was just...
So the people were driving around with their lights on.
Yeah, and the lights were, they didn't look like they were, it's just from the draw from the dust, you know, and the smoke in the air. I've never seen anything like it.
She said, like, the lights looked a greenish color.
Yeah, they look
green. You know how they look yellow at night, you know?
Yeah, they just look green. It was a weird, ugly, ugly day. Bobby's going to have a baby right away.
Who is?
Bobby.
Brian's wife? I didn't even know she was pregnant 3 months ago. Of course, I guess they can get big in 3 months, too.
What's her name?
Brent. What's her name? Ronalee. Ronalee. I don't know why I told her. Ronalee. She had a brother that died from asthma, too. Seems like a lot of people. I mean, that's weird that I would know two people that died from asthma, you know? Just in a matter of a year's time.
Really?
Yeah. Her brother was, like, just right out of high school. I mean, you know, did Mom tell you about Deb at all? She probably really couldn't since Janetta was there. You know, she was in the hospital, in and out of the hospital all the time and stuff. Ever since she was little, she was in and out of the hospital.
Who was that, Debbie?
Debbie. I mean, she loved horses so much, and she was always, like, she's allergic to horse hair, horse sweat, you know, stuff like that, but she wouldn't quit riding them, so. She's allergic to everything. It doesn't matter.
It didn't matter what she did.
Did she ever go to an allergy doctor or anybody like that?
Oh, yeah, she never did take shots, did she?
No, I don't know why. They should have gotten her.
I don't know why they didn't.
I've always wondered about that. And she had such severe asthma that I would have done a little bit more.
If you want to talk about somebody tired, that girl couldn't walk down to the street and back without taking a nap. And me and Mom always accused her of being lazy. You know, because she was just, all she did was sleep.
She saw she had more
problems. And now that when we think about it, she probably wasn't really lazy. She's probably just exhausted. I mean, you know, if you think about it, we, like, take everything for granted. We take our air for granted, you know. But then somebody like that, every little breath is, like, an effort to them. You know, and if I had to go through an effort just to breathing all the time,
well,
I'd be tired, too.
Debbie got to the point where all she would do is when she did, you know, just really often, she'd go to try to get enough air in. And they had an autopsy done on it, and her heart was just hard on one side from labored breathing all of her life. It had just labored her heart. She actually died of a heart attack.
She did.
Yeah.
They did have an autopsy done on her.
It would surprise me. But they did. It was actually
And her heart was hard?
Mm-hmm. One side of her heart was just hard from the muscle. It was just hard from just labored breathing.
That's just sick.
Yeah, we thought she was just lazy and kind of worthless, but we didn't realize what she was going through.
And you know, maybe that's another reason why she didn't really... Maybe Mom, she kind of knew about all this stuff. Maybe that's why she didn't really pay that much attention to Amanda. I mean, not because... I mean, it seemed like she'd pay more attention to her, but maybe it's because she wanted to have a little fun in her life, too, and knew it wasn't going to last forever for her, you know? I mean, I guess, like, right before she died and stuff, she's, like, telling her mom, like, well, if I go, I want this here and I want that there. And, you know, just little things.
Is Amanda her kid, or...?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just too bad. I just hope Orville and Janetta get that little girl.
Oh, they won't. There's no...
Are they even trying?
Yeah. They want her 3 months out of the year, but they have no legal grounds. I mean, you know, he is the legal father, and there's not much they can do.
When she was divorced?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he is such a weirdo. Yeah. This is the type of person that is like a hermit. I don't know what you'd call him.
Well, they were like, raised backwards.
Backwardsy.
Raised in the mountains, didn't it?
Never came down out of the mountains. He doesn't have any... He doesn't know what's going on in this world.
No, he doesn't. He's just not...
I mean, he wouldn't even have the slightest idea.
Where was he from?
Idaho?
In Idaho.
And up in the mountains in Idaho?
Mount Mackley.
Arco? Isn't that where Deb kind of was? But he's just really, really, really strange.
Like,